Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast with me, Stu Sensei. And today we have Mike from 212 English on with us. He's going to be talking about his English teaching journey and also how we can learn from social media.
Okay, I'm sure many people know who you are, unfortunately for them. But do you want to introduce yourself? Where you're from and why you're a teacher, or what led you to becoming a teacher?
Well, I'm Mike from New York City, born and raised. My parents came from Dominican Republic in their early 20s. And if I'm not mistaken, we were born like 5 or 6 years later. I think my mom, if I'm not mistaken, she was in her late 20s, early 30s when she had my brother. And then it was like nonstop after that. So I grew up bilingual in the early 80s. I was born in 83. So, like, stuff you see in movies and all that stuff, we kind of lived through that in the beginning. Like, I remember the subways being really trashed and all that stuff. So we grew up pretty tough. My mom didn't have an education. So my mom was very education oriented. But at that time, public schools had a terrible reputation in New York City. Terrible. So my parents just really worked to send us to school. And I think even though my mom had only a third grade education level, she always pushed us about education, because it seems my brother's a teacher, I'm a teacher, my sister's a teacher as well. I don't know how that really happened. So we all became teachers. And it just kind of just happened, really, when you look at it. The truth is, I became a teacher because I always wanted to come to Japan. Even I had a friend of mine when I was in my early 20s. He lived in Japan, and he was like, oh, if you want to come here, you got to become a teacher. And my brother was already a teacher in Catholic school at that time. And I was a flight attendant. I mean, before that, he told me, but I tried to come into Japan through like the JET and stuff, but you needed like a really high GPA. Like, they were only taking 4.0s at that time, which oddly enough, to teach Japan is definitely not needed a 4.0.
Yeah, of course.
You know? So JET was only taking that. So I tried JET, I tried to interact. I remember I tried a few and I just got denied. And after I became a flight attendant and I traveled here, my first time I traveled to Japan was in Okinawa. And I was like super excited, whatever. And I traveled a few times to Japan, and I had a really slow month when I was a flight attendant, and I needed cash because I had high loans from the bank. And I told my brother, hey, listen, if you guys need any help in the school, I'll help out, because I thought it would look really good on my resume. Not really to teach itself, but just to be around, you know, kids and maybe tutor or something like that, you know?
Sure.
And then next day, my brother called me like at 5 o'clock in the morning. He's like, take a taxi, get here at 6:30 or something. I was like, what? And I just jumped in the shower. And then I was the gym teacher. They took the gym teacher, the reading teacher was absent. So they took the gym teacher and put him in the reading teacher. And then they had me in the gym class, because the gym wasn't really gym. It was really like, let the kids kind of just,
you know, not steam or something.
Yeah, just let off some steam and just don't let them kill themselves. And
they trusted you.
Yeah, which is crazy, right? Because I'm all about, you know, I'm all about you getting hurt on your own, so you learn the hard way.
Did they give you a background check?
No, because the principal, I went to the same school that my brother's a teacher. So the principal was my principal when I was a kid. He's been a principal for 40 years or something like that. So he already knew me, and he's actually my godfather for confirmation. So we're already in. My sister, we're all like, everybody knows our name in the school. So basically we're like family.
So you were the teacher's pet, because
That's the only, I won that award as a kid. They were like, I
the
won
only
an
way to
award.
get into Eton is to know the people there,
Man,
you know.
listen, I'm all for it. Do what you got to do to get in, But yeah, I won most helpful, by the way. Now that sidebar, when in eighth grade they give out awards, and my award was like most helpful. That's basically teacher's pet. So
Most
there you
helpful.
go. That answers your question. Are you
Nice. I
using a
already know it.
filter, by the way?
Always, mate. I have to. No, I'm
Bro,
not
why are you
using a
using a
filter.
filter?
I don't think
Jesus
I am.
Christ.
Am I? I don't know. I
Your
haven't
face looks
actually.
smooth.
Well, that's that British,
No, I
British
actually know
complexion.
British. You don't even, you can't even finish a sentence, British the, No, I don't know.
Because I'm definitely not lying. That's what it is.
But yeah, so when I was there, I didn't work as a flight attendant for 2 solid weeks, but I worked in the school for 2 solid weeks. And after 2 weeks, the principal was like, "Hey, listen, I know you're not a teacher, but you have very good control over the class, and that's what's needed. If you stay, we'll give you a full-time gig, and you'll go every week to like they had these teacher schools, so like you would go and you would learn the skill to be a teacher, and that's what I did. So I did that for 1.5 years, and then the flight attendant company called me back, and they're like, they literally said, "Yo, we're flying to Japan every week. Come back." And I was like, "I'm all there," and I was, it was one of the most heartbreaking like moments of my life. I had to tell the principal that quick, 'cause, you get attached to the kids, right?
Yeah,
And then,
100%. Yeah, it's awful.
but yeah, then I became a flight attendant, and then the earthquake happened, and we used to fly to Japan. I was there like every couple of days. It was crazy. And but in flight attendant and the flight attendant company I used to work for, you had two different trips. You had like a long haul trip that you came here for a short time, but it took like you had to fly over here and then fly back the next day. It was terrible. Or you had the nice trip where you commercialed in, means like I had to work here or the other flight attendant, but this one you just commercial, hang out here a couple of days, you do a short trip, hang out, and then And I wanted the good one, but they didn't want to give it to me. And then the earthquake happened. And I'm sorry, the earthquake happened, and then we were flying here all the time, but I had the rough side of the flights. And then one day I was like, "You know what? I'm tired of this. Let me apply." And they were desperate, basically. They were like, when I applied in Narita, I remember by the time I landed, I already had six or job opportunities, and I just took the one that was closest to Tokyo. That's how I ended up in Saitama. And I was here
Interesting.
within 2 weeks of sending that resume that day. I just dropped
Wow.
everything. And then, so basically, I always wanted to come. So things just, how they say that if you want it really bad, life just kind of falls into place. You got to be, what do they say? Like, you're lucky, but you have to learn to take the opportunities that are there, so you
Yeah.
create your own luck, like that kind of,
Yeah. Why did you start social media? Obviously, you've been just to briefly go over, you've been teaching for a long time, yeah, 10 years or something in Japan.
Yeah, 11
11.
now. Yeah, about
And
11.
you were in a school for a while, but you've had your own company for a long time. Now, why did you start social media?
So when I first came to Japan, I worked for a company, and I came in 2 weeks, so I basically did, I knew nothing about how schools worked in Japan, how the Eikaiwa business was. I knew nothing. And I came here, and we were living in like in a share house, and then they train you, I don't know, I think it was a week or two, maybe not even that long. So I got the training, and then the first day I stepped into the Eikaiwa, I was like, "This is an apartment. Like, how is this
Yeah.
an like how is this a school, And I was like, "You're making X amount of money like here?" And then I was like, "Wait, I can do this." So like my goal was always to kind of like do it myself. I mean, I if I stayed at if I was in a good company, I would have stayed if it was good, but I'm glad it wasn't, because it pushed me to create my own company. So once I created my own company, I quit the other one, I started my school. I needed a way to get students, and I mean, Japan is kind of late. Like Instagram was already like happening, right? At the time that I started Instagram, I was, I guess, 4 years late to the party. So I didn't really understand what Instagram was.
In the West, that is, though, yeah, not
Yeah,
in Japan. Japan has only really just started popping in the last 3 years or something, yeah.
oddly enough, the only reason I even knew, I mean, someone told me, my brother's like, "Do you know?" My brother was that put me onto Twitter and Instagram, and I was like, "Do you know what that is?" And the way he was promoting Twitter was like, oh, I follow these soccer players and I follow these big brands. If you follow them on Twitter, they put sales that no one else, you can't find anywhere else. And then he gave a few examples where, you know, when Twitter first kind of just started, there was a lot of athletes who would post where they're drinking or hanging out. And it's like the first 50 people drinks on me. So my brother went to, he met a few celebrities, like a few athletes like that. Like they weren't that big, but that's how he promoted it. So Twitter wasn't like my thing. I didn't really understand it the first time, but Instagram seemed like manageable. So I didn't see anyone doing like English on Instagram because I wasn't really big on it. So I was like, oh, let me be the first to jump on this. But when I started doing it a couple weeks or months later, then I was like, wait a minute, there's people rocking out here on Instagram. Like people are already Rupa, I think, was the biggest that I saw at that time, and he was 4,000. And for me, 4,000 seemed crazy high. I never suspected that you can get as many as, you know, 1 million teaching English. I was like, there's no way. You know, my mind was very narrow to, you know, I you know, forgetting that the rest of the world wanted to learn English as well. You know, I thought it was like only an Asia thing, but that's why I started social media, is to grow my business.
And what have you learned in those 3 years? Have you learned any skills?
I think the social media is, what I learned is that social media is definitely a tool. I think that people have a misconception of like followers equals money, which it doesn't equate to that at all. You know, it doesn't even equate to really power, because you know you're at the mercy of the algorithms all the time. But what it does equate is a chance, and the more followers you have, the bigger chance you have an opportunity to create something, you know. And but you also learn the habits of people, which is really wild. I learned that at least on social media, how people, what people need versus what people want versus what's important to them, you know.
Sure.
Because even though there's a lot of things that we would like people to learn and think it's important, it's not what other people want to learn. So
Yeah, that's a big difference, isn't it? Do you think that you know, recently there's been a pop in many different types of social, isn't there? So do you think that people, do you think people really learn from social media?
yes and no.
Okay.
I think the same is kind of like, it's kind of like, I would love to say it's like college, but I would say more it's like grammar school. Like college, you kind of pick the stuff that you want. So you're interested, like let's say you're interested in computer science, that's your major. So you're really focused on whatever it is you're learning, right? But when in grammar school or elementary school, however you want to call it, it's kind of forced upon you, right? So when you follow someone, you have a general interest in wanting to learn, but there are times, many times actually, that there's stuff you just don't really feel like learning. So you're not really going to learn. That's A. And then B, the way that people consume certain types of social media is not the correct way to study, I would say. It's like, okay, let me consume this, or I learned this today, and then they don't review. And it's impossible to retain information. Most people can't retain information the first time. It takes several different times, right? So I think if you consume social media the correct way, yes, you can learn. But for the most part, people don't.
Okay.
And not in
Yeah, that
a
makes sense.
bad way. It's like, you know, like people, like you would say, like, did you remember this? Oh yeah, I remember that skit or whatever. And it's like, can you use it in a sentence? No, I still can't. But the people who watch a skit write it down and they try to make it into a sentence, and you know, so you can learn, but you need to do it the correct way.
That's it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you want to join another podcast, there's going to be another one next week. And you can find Mike at 212 English on Instagram. Make sure you check him out, and I'll see you next time. Ciao.